وعلى الدين كله صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, as Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected friends and brothers, alhamdulillah, we living in this part of the world, this part of the globe, are honored to have Deenul Islam as our way of life, that deen upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has based and placed our salvation, eternal salvation in the akhirah. But we need to ask ourselves that how did this particular deen reach us and reach so many other parts of the world, where today we find in the most remotest areas, in the most unheard of places, there is the name of Allah Ta'ala being taken, there is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam being practiced, adhan is being called out, salah is being performed. Sometime about a year ago, somebody sent us a little clip about people fasting in the North Pole and how their fasting has to be calculated and so forth. How did the Islam, the Deen of Islam, reach there, my respected friends and brothers? Because Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, "Huwa alladhi," He is the one who has sent the Nabi, the Rasul, with the true deen. And this deen is going to overpower all the other deens. So this is the promise and the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deen is going to spread. Now we're talking of these areas. There are some areas still deen has not spread. By the way, there is Islam also being practiced in Alaska at this point in time as we talk. So this is the promise of Allah ta'ala and this is the plan of Allah. But when we speak about the plan of Allah, my respected friends and brothers, we need to know that the plan did not just get executed from day one. The very first day when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the wahi in the cave of Hira, there was the first day Islam started happening, as we want to say. It didn't that from that day everybody became Muslim and the plan of Allah was executed. No. The plan of Allah, according to His knowledge and wisdom, was to be executed in stages, gradually, from one place to another, from one person to another, from one country, continent to another, right through. Till alhamdulillah, it has reached us, generation to generation, my respected friends and brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew about His plan, and Allah ta'ala also knew who and who He's going to use for carrying out this plan. Allah ta'ala could have just made it that, like a cloud that just comes, you know, and covers everybody in rain. The hidayah could also just come from day one. Everybody could have had iman. No. Allah ta'ala made it such that He chose people that will be responsible for taking on the cudgels of deen, taking on the mission of spreading the deen, and then it will reach whoever it's supposed to reach. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was chosen to be the final Nabi, Allah ta'ala says. And subsequent to that, we find that other people also were chosen, alhamdulillah. Are we also chosen? Everyone must ask themselves this question as we go along. What have I done? What have I done to give deen to another person, to introduce Islam to another person? Or have I done something to give Islam a bad name? We must ask ourselves that question from time to time. But we must make sure that before we die, we can tell Allah, "I did this for your deen," whatever it might be, to spread it and to promote it, alhamdulillah. So there was those days also, my brothers, when deen was so poor, when deen was such a stranger, when deen was so lost, right in the lonely, it was lonely. The few handful of Muslimin that had taken the courage of accepting the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were being persecuted. And against all odds, they stuck and were steadfast. And Islam was being practiced secretly, discreetly, in fear. There was a fear that we can't believe. And at that time we find, if that was the position of Islam then, in Makkah, that little valley there, and today, where we're talking about the various aspects of the universe which I have just made mention of, then, my brothers, we can see what the difference it is. From there to there, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also making an effort on his small, sincere group of devoted followers. And he picks up his hand one day and he says, "Oh Allah, strengthen Islam with either Amr ibn Hisham or Umar ibn Khattab." Two. One is Amr and one is Umar. And somebody says that Abu Jahl's name Amr ibn Hisham was actually Umar, but he was so proud, he says, nobody else must call themselves Umar. I am Umar. Or I am Amr, and nobody else must call themselves Umar. So Umar radiallahu anhu then changed his name to Umar. And Amr ibn Hisham, the proud arrogant, remained as he was. There's one narration. But nevertheless, my brothers, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua. Oh Allah, strengthen Islam with either Amr ibn Hisham or Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Hisham, the sworn arch enemy of Islam, he had some great leadership qualities in him. He was a very wise man. His name was actually Abu al-Hakam, father of wisdom. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have saw that this man can be a very great asset to Islam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also must have saw that what Umar radiallahu ta'ala has got. So he made dua and left it in the hands of Allah. And we find, my respected friends and brothers, this dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wasn't just any off-the-cuff dua, you know. Many times we pick up our hands, we also make dua. We don't even know what we're asking for. We don't even know the thing we're asking for is the right thing. We don't even know if it's a harmful thing sometimes. That's the condition of our dua. We don't know what we must ask for and what we must not ask for. But the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This entire kitab and books that have compiled the du'as of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are most beautiful. Get the Hizbul Azam, read the dua, and then make your dua according to the dua which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. His du'as were inspired by Allah. His words were most eloquent from his tongue, because on the same tongue the wahi had come. So the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the plan of Allah to spread the deen. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's good fortune was present. Allah already knew that this is what's going to happen. We know the story, we read Fadaili A'mal, how Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu finally accepted Islam. And the day this dua had to be accepted, that Umar radiallahu anhu is going to become a Muslim, it wasn't that Umar radiallahu anhu went, you know, with a big ceremony and a whole band with him, that I am coming now to accept Islam because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Totally opposite. He was on his way to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is the plan of Allah. And you must learn from here that sometimes things can be at a total odds against everybody. But that is the start of the beginning, or the start of your good fortune. And that was the start of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's good fortune, that he's going now to Medina to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah. And the story is mentioned there. We can read in Fadaili A'mal. Finally, he accepts Islam. Now, the question we ask ourselves at this point is that, why did Allah Ta'ala inspire such a dua into the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? One, because Allah Ta'ala knew his plan and he knew who he is going to choose. So it was already in the plan, in the master plan of Allah, that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is going to be the one. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given such great clear tidings, that books of hadith, my brothers, got lots of virtues as expounded by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. In Ramadan, those who were here, one of the Sundays, we gave a detailed talk on Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, once I had a dream. And in the dream, I see a lot of people with the upper garments are being brought in front of me. So some of the upper garments are short, some are a bit longer. Then I see Umar coming in front of me. And I see Umar has got not an upper garment, he's got a garment that is not only upper, it's an entire sheet that he is dragging. So like he's wearing a long kurta and he's dragging it. So the people ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so what is the interpretation of that? What is that garment? He says, that garment, it symbolizes the deen of Umar radiallahu anhu, said by none other than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His dreams are not dreams like how we have all funny kinds of dreams. The dreams of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were true dreams. One part of prophethood is dreams. And he had this dream about who? About Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Another occasion he had a dream, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this, both things are found in Bukhari and Muslim Sharif. So he says that I dream that milk has been offered to me, and I'm drinking that milk, who? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm drinking it until my entire body is filled to such an extent that the milk is now starting to ooze out of my very fingernails. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then I take the container and I give it to Umar, and Umar drinks it. So the Sahaba asks, what do you interpret that dream as? He says, ilam, knowledge, my respected friends and brothers. So in the plan of Allah, Allah had already decided that this man, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, has got knowledge and he's got deen. And he will be one of those people who I'm going to choose to advance the cause of the deen. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, my respected friends and brothers, is spoken of in such high terms by none other than Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna Allah ta'ala ja'ala al-haq. Allah ta'ala has placed truth ala lisani Umar wa qalbihi, on the tongue of Umar and on the heart of Umar. When Umar speaks, he speaks the truth. The truth is not anything else but that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is the truth. So in other words, he speaks that what is the truth by Allah ta'ala. And the heart of Umar contains the truth. What truth? The truth that Allah ta'ala has declared to be the truth. And my respected friends and brothers, there can not be a greater honor for anybody. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that before you, there were people who were muhaddathun. Muhaddathun means people that used to be inspired. So they were not anbiya alayhi wa sallam, but they were very, very pious people. And because of them being so pious and being so connected to Allah, they used to be inspired with various spiritual aspects. And they used to tell the people about it. They were not anbiya. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if there is anyone in my ummah that has got this gift of being inspired, muhaddathun, is Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So therefore we find, my brothers, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that dua, it was a dua inspired by Allah, who had already chosen this great person, who has got the quality of deen, who's got the quality of ilm, who's got the quality of haq in his heart and on his tongue, to advance the cause of Islam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We're so honored, my brothers. Today when this world sees itself in chaos, what comes on the tongues of the people? The world needs another Umar. They don't say anything else. They don't say we need another Kennedy. They don't say we need another Stalin. They say we need another Umar. Who? Not Muslims. Non-Muslims. It is documented, my brothers. They say the world need another Umar because of the way Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had set an example of administering and running and managing humanity, not only the little country where he was in, not only Medina Munawwara. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيًّا, if there was a Nabi after me, it would have been Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. In other words, the heart that Umar carries in his bosom is such that it's very closed. He thinks, his thought process is like that of a Nabi. You know, there are various examples we have given in the past that when sometimes mashura is to be made with regard to a certain deeni matter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we'll think about it. Umar radiallahu anhu used to give a suggestion. There are more than 10 or 20 of these suggestions. Then later on, when the wahi finally comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is in total conformity to what Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had suggested. So these are examples of the haqq that Allah ta'ala has put in the heart of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now why are we talking about Sayyidina Umar today? Because we are in the month of Muharram, we're coming to an end now. And when the month of Muharram comes, my brothers, then we don't forget that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is associated to the month of Muharram. In which way? There are two important incidents amongst others. One is his martyrdom took place on the first of Muharram, the day he passed away. And another one is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina Munawwara at that time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now we're going to declare the Islamic calendar. And the Islamic calendar will now be calculated from Muharram being the first month. And Sayyidina Umar was given the task. So he started writing and recording how the Islamic calendar is going to be. So he is linked to the Islamic calendar, obviously as per the instruction of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now comes the day when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is chosen by Allah ta'ala to become the Khalifa after the demise of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah's plan, my brothers, nobody can take that away from him. Allah's plan. And when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu starts, we find, and we're not going to go into history now, the spread of Islam. I said we are sitting in the southernmost tip of Africa. Islam started spreading at that time beyond the Arabian Peninsula. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in his lifetime, the 2 years that he ruled, he had sent out various armies who had to go and undertake certain important missions. One of them was the renegades, people who were turning away from Islam. And they were finished with their task by the time Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had passed away. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala takes over. And he continues with the mission of expanding and spreading Islam, my brothers. And we have to just look at the borders very, very briefly. If you look at Africa, you know where Saudi Arabia is, where Medina is, look down. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, through under his khilafat, Islam comes into Egypt and Alexandria, Africa. Thereafter, if you look at Asia, we find Islam spreading right to the areas of what is called Pakistan today, the area is known as Balochistan. That time it was known as Makran. And when we look on the other side, we look at Western Russia, we look at the places called Armenia, and look at the place called Merv, and going up to Southern Russia, all that, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's khilafat. And the superpowers of that time were two, Persia and Rome, and the Roman Empire. Persia was Iraq and Iran. The back of that superpower of Iran and Iraq, of Persia, was broken that time under the khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We find his able, you know, commanders going there, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and so forth, and taking on those big emperors and those governors, Rustam and Yazdajart and all of the rest of them. And Islam went and it spread. Iraq owes its existence and Islamic existence, and so does Iran, to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then, my respected friends and brothers, Sham, we love Jerusalem, you and I. We speak about Palestine with such a passion. When the armies under Khalid ibn Walid and others had conquered the areas of Sham, Syria, today what we talk of Syria, all those places, Hama and Homs and all of these places, they were conquered by the Muslims. That was now the Roman Empire. That started at the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. By the time his demise, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu took over, and those areas were conquered. That was the start of the end of the demise of the Roman Empire. And then we find Jerusalem, my brothers, coming back into the hands of the Muslimin. Under who? Under the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What work Allah ta'ala had taken? What was the position of Umar in the master plan of Allah ta'ala, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua at that time when Islam was so small, that Umar is going to be the one who's going to be the cause of Islam spreading so far, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We love him, my brothers, we love him with our heart. So we find that Jerusalem is now besieged, is surrounded. And the Christians say, we're not giving over the keys until the right person doesn't come. According to our scriptures, the right person has got the following features. Tell your Amirul Mu'minin to come. If he comes and we see he's the right man, then we'll give him the keys. So somebody suggested, why don't you just tell Khalid ibn Walid to go forward? Because Khalid ibn Walid, he had some features similar to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And history has recorded that Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu presented himself. He said, no, not this one. Sayyidina Umar and the Mashwara, he comes, my brothers. And the day he enters Jerusalem, the Christians and the Jews of that area have surrounded the streets, because they said, our scholars have told us that it is mentioned in our holy books that the keys of Jerusalem are going to be handed to a very, very pious person, upright person. So we want to see the manifestation and the materialization of that prophecy in our books. So they came and stood on the streets. And here Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is walking in his kurta or his trousers, his lungi, up to his knees, covered in mud because it crossed a muddy area. And he is leading his slave on the camel. And he is walking. You see, this is the one. This is the one. That humility that was shown at that time. Our Jerusalem, mine and your Masjidul Quds, under the Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. We love him, my brothers. We owe it to him. We make dua to him. When we go Madinah Munawwara, we say, after we send salam Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salam to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we say, Jazallahu anna wa an ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahsan al jaza. Oh Allah, give Umar radiallahu anhu the best of jaza, best of rewards from our side and from the side of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is our Umar. So he makes a dua. Oh Allah, Allahumma rizqni shahadatan fi sabilik. Warzuq wajal muti fi baladi habibik. This was his love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was his love for shahada. He said, oh Allah, let me die a martyr. And let me die in the city of your beloved Nabi. So his daughter Hafsa says, how is that possible? Radiallahu anha. How is that possible? Because to be a shaheed, you have to be out in the path of Allah. You have to be martyred. You can't be here in Medina. He says, when Allah wants to do something, Allah does it. I leave it in Allah's hands. This was the sincerity of his dua. We mentioned the other day after Maghrib also. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is performing Fajr Salah, and a munafiq, a fire worshipper, comes and he stabs him. And that is the end of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. He gets shahada, and he gets burial in the city of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No! In the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No! In the room of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at the feet of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah had honored him. Now, we can't take that honor away from him. Allah has honored him till the day of Qiyamah, my brothers. We are so fortunate we go to Medina and we have that honor of sending salam to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu while he's buried right there to our, next to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Justice after death, when he knows he's going to pass away, and I conclude on this. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to his son, I would love to be buried next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Please ask Aisha that if it is possible. Aisha radiallahu anha sends a message back. I had booked that place for me because my father is buried there and my beloved husband is buried there. But for you, I will sacrifice it to Umar. That's our mother, Sayyida Aisha. We'll talk about her on another time, inshallah. How Allah has exalted her position in the Quran. No matter who says what. My respected friends and brothers, Sayyidina Umar is very happy. But he says to his son, look at him, look at the justice. He says to his son, after I pass away, take my janaza to the door of Aisha and tell her, ask her permission for a second time. Maybe now she still thinks, you know, I'm alive and my authority as a khalifa, therefore under kind of, you know, sharam they say. She said, okay. After I've passed away, that authority is off. Then ask her a second time if I can be buried. If she says, then you must bury me next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that room. And exactly Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that we went and we took the janaza to the door of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. He says, my father had requested to be buried in the room where Sayyidina Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. You still give permission? She says, yes, I still give permission. And then my respected friends and brothers, we find. And that was also written by Allah Ta'ala. You know, everybody's place of death is written before. Allah Ta'ala had recorded it already. The two people are going to be honored to be sleeping next to my beloved Nabi, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and he was martyred on the 1st of Muharram. And my respected friends and brothers, we say again, we conclude this bayan, jazallahu anna wa an ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ahsanul jazah wa ma'alina al-balagh.